Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
What is up and welcome to the Tuesday night edition of the Bruin Bible. Will Decker, your host, joined by my co-host, man, myth, legend, all of the above, Mr. Jamal Madney in the house. Madman, how is your Tuesday evening going thus far?
Doing well, Will. Tuesday evening, not too bad. It's gotten a lot better now that I get to do this with you and discuss some Bruin football.
Nothing like talking Bruin football. And we've got a very cool episode we cooked up for you guys this week. As we approach spring ball, we want to bring up our personal top five players we're most excited to see in spring action. Maybe some guys on the roster that are ready to take that next step. Maybe some transfers. And the only rule is we cannot choose Dante Moore, the coveted five-star player that's coming in. Too easy of an answer. So we're going to give you a little bit more positional depth. But before we get to that, Madman, and I want to just say that this episode is sponsored by our good friends at BetOnline. BetOnline, where the gambling starts. Make sure to use that code LAFB to gamble. Hey, Hachimura is on the Lakers now. Does this change your stance on maybe a potential futures bet, Madman, of the Lakers maybe swinging into that seventh or eighth spot with AD coming back and Hachimura now in the fold?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to go from no playoffs to, you know, winning two games in the first round before getting bounced. So, you know, Hachimura is going to give us two more games in the season before we all go to Cancun. So, yeah, you know, maybe the line moves a little bit. Bet online, where you can bet on the contenders as well as the pretenders.
Hey, man, Hachi's going to be cooking like hibachi by the time this thing's all done. I got my eyes on Hachimura doing big things. So BetOnline, make sure to check that out using our code LAFB. And before we even get into the, you know, top five, you know, players we're looking forward to, and this might be even on some of our lists, we got a huge transfer, another big boom from our guy Ethan Young within the UCLA program. We were able to get Kadir Kauna, the left tackle, 6'6", 306-pound, offensive tackle from Old Dominion, 27 starts to his name. Big, big addition. I know the last time we had spoke, you were very excited about the additions of Ford, Sturdivant, you know, Maliki Matavo, Carson Steele, but you're like, hey, I need some linemen. Chip clearly heard you and was like, you know what, Madman? I'm going to go right into the portal. I'm going to make something happen. How excited are you that we've kind of solidified at least one of the tackle positions with Kauna coming in the fold for UCLA?
Very excited, Will, and it was sort of right on cue from one of our last shows where we said, look, the final missing piece here of the puzzle that Chip really needs to focus on the next couple of weeks is beefing up that offensive line after you lose the three starters in Gaines, Raekwon O'Neal, and Antonio Mafi. So, again, Kauna fits that archetype, that Chip prototype, out of the transfer portal, experienced, smaller school, academically oriented, as well as very gifted athletically, 20-plus starts, ready to be able to contribute right away. So very excited about that. I expect Chip to maybe make one more move for the offensive line to really shore up that unit and feel like we're in the same roster composition as we were last year. But this is a huge step in that direction. And again, it just speaks to the plan, Will. The plan that Chip has, it's predictable, it's stable, it's repeatable, and it's going to yield these great results. So couldn't be more happy for this addition.
And I'm going to let you lead off with this. This is our top five guys we're most excited for to be coming into spring football as UCLA prepares for the 2023 season. In my opinion, the year that is going to turn the tide of UCLA moving forward. Madman, who are your top five players, starting with number one, that you are most excited to see in spring camp for 2023?
Ooh, that's hard, Will. That's hard. And there's a couple that I would pick just for kind of the storyline. There's a couple I would pick athletically. There's a couple that you're really dying to see. I'm going to go with one that's a little bit more emotional. And I'm really excited to see Kyle Ford in a UCLA uniform.
Yeah,
and
let's go. Watch,
you know, to see him, we were there last year at the SC camp and watched him and had a chance to interview him and looked like he was really going to break out. And he did to a certain extent. Now, watching him change colors, go to the better school, go to the nicer campus, and really sort of show out there, especially in this hybrid wide receiver tight end role that he has the body for. I'm really excited to just see him in a UCLA uniform. We know what he brought to the table, 470-plus yards receiving last year, a handful of touchdowns, balled out in the UCLA game, and now he gets to don the blue and gold after going across town last year, which I can't remember the last time that's ever happened in the history of this rivalry, Will, where you played on one side and then the very next year you played on the other side. He's probably the first and potentially not the last guy to be able to do that. So just for the story, the shift to see him year over year, I'm really excited to see Kyle Ford in the spring.
Love it. First selection, we're getting a former USC Trojan to UCLA. And, you know, just a guy that was a highly recruited dude that just fought tooth and nail against some of the most loaded receiving corps, high draft picks, Biletnikoff winners, guys that are going to be future draft picks, and Mario Williams, players like that, that he was fighting for time-wise. And the thing that I like about Ford is with a younger quarterback, and I know Dante Moore, if he does win the job, or if it's Garbers or whoever it may be, you know, for these guys that are taking over, you know, a starting position, even if it's Colin Schley, this is Pac-12 football. It's a step up from the MAC. You like to have those big, reliable targets, those big wingspans and, you know, leaping ability. And, you know, unfortunately for UCLA fans, the play he made, you know, in the UCLA game, he was just going over the top of the defenders. But now that's on our side, just to have that ability in the wide receiver room, and to be a former Trojan, I think that's a great first selection for the Madman. Kyle Ford officially off the board for UCLA. So my first pick, Madman, and I can go in a lot of different areas. I've done some research around the roster. I'm going to pick a guy that I think is going to go from unsung, at least how we've really seen him, you know, outside of maybe just the bowl game last year, to a guy that I think is going to be on the first or second All Pac-12 team next year. And that guy for me, Jay Toya. I'm excited to see what Jay Toya brings to the table. And we got a little taste of that, man. We got one of those free food samples you get to go when you go to Costco. You're going, oh, this is good. I want to get the whole thing. Jay Toya is going to provide that. The bowl game was really the first time the former four-star guy really broke out at the defensive tackle position. 10 tackles. Two tackles for a loss, was really disrupting that Pitt offensive line and Pat Narduzzi's system, making plays in the backfield. Two tackles for a loss. This guy has always had the potential to be great. And in the first 2 years, we've kind of seen little snippets of it, you know, little areas where he's made a flashy play and then he'll be pulled to the back, you know, for the likes of, Gary Smith coming in or some of these other dudes around him. But I am ready for this 6'6", 325-pound lineman to really make that leap to the next level. Jay Toya, a former Trojan himself, he transferred out of spring football for USC to crosstown UCLA. So ironically, we're both starting with former Trojans. Give me your take on Jay Toya, because I think if you can pair this guy with Liatu Latu and the Murphy twins coming back, why can't this be the best defensive line in the Pac-12 next year if everything goes right, Madman?
Will, that was a great pick, and it's flying a little bit under the radar, even though it was a great bowl game from Toya. We saw flashes of Toya, ironically, in that USC game, if you recall, Will, those first couple of drives, and then he got hurt. And again, we had to wait for the bowl game. He has the ability. Everyone else we talk about, we're talking about pass rush first. He has the ability to rush the quarterback, but also be this tremendous run stopper in the middle as well. And that versatility is just so hard to find at the collegiate level and the next level. As long as he stays healthy, Will, this could be the breakout version of the defensive player in 2023 that potential Latu was in 2022 in terms of tackles for loss, in terms of getting after the quarterback, in terms of clogging up the run lanes. And Toya has all the makings here now after playing major college football for a couple of years to put it all together. And my, what a compliment that would be to the likes of the Latus and the Murphy twins, and bring even more versatility to that front seven. Because, Will, it was in that front seven that struggled in the big games. It was the front seven, you and I recall that Oregon game, they just were getting moved off the line. And, you know, the linebackers were deemed completely ineffective. That was the night that Blaylock had 17 tackles. Or, you know, another game, Osling the third had over a dozen tackles. We saw similar things in that SC game. We saw some similar things in that Arizona State game from time to time. So Toya playing a full season can make all the difference given his versatility. I love the pick. My goodness. Well, I don't know how you top that pick, because that was just so insightful.
Well, we're going to have to keep topping it. I know you got some good picks in you, Madman. But the thing that really struck out to me is I think a lot of the fan base has been pining for a defensive tackle to really come in and play for UCLA. We have one right in our backyard right now, a former four-star guy, high pedigree. We've seen some of the flashes. If he's healthy, I think this guy's a future pro, and I think he can bring big things to the table and complete what we have is probably the best edge rushers we've had under Chip Kelly and Latu and the Murphy. So that's my first pick. Pick number two for Mr. Madman. Where are you going and why for UCLA Bruins, brother?
Well, Will, you know, I love this selection here, and I love the draft that we're doing, because two of the first three players taken off the board are going to be defensive guys. I got to go with my guy, Oladijo. He was essentially Cal's best defensive player. We saw him in the Cal game last year. He had over a dozen tackles in that game. Showed incredible range, Will, incredible athleticism. He has sort of the ball hawking and the instincts of a Mwasel, but he's got that top-end athleticism of what Carl Jr. had last year. And he's got the motor of the Murphy twins. He's sort of got the best of all three versions of defensive linemen slash linebackers that UCLA has. And look, Will, arguably one of the unsung plays of the year last year. You recall what that was. The two-yard run by Charbonnet on fourth down. Remember we said it was the greatest two-yard run ever. He barely made it on that second effort. Who was the guy that he was trying to evade, who he was trying to overpower to win by inches? It was Oladijo. It was Charbonnet versus Oladijo in that critical play. And someone that can contain Zach Charbonnet, who we have called Superman, who is going to be a sensational NFL player to that extent, is someone I am so excited about. And now you put Oladijo with John Vaughns, with Latu, with Mwasel. The versatility now on this defense is off the charts. You can run some Tampa 2 concepts. You can do 3-4. You can do all kinds of different things, exotic blitzes. We saw in the NFL over the past weekend here, Will, the Buffalo Bills get totally annihilated by Bengals at home. Why? Primarily because of the exotic blitz packages. Josh Allen didn't know where the pressure was coming from. And you need to have ultimate athleticism to be able to do that. Oladijo gives Bill McGovern another piece on the board to be able to do very different things, lay back and pass coverage, attack the passer, get to the sidelines. Oladijo's my guy, Will. I'm expecting big things from him this year.
Totally. And we've made this point, you know, with Ken Norton. He was the guy that built the linebacking room of the Cushing, the Clay Matthews, and Ray Maluga, you know, and he's assembling his version of that with what UCLA currently has. I'm not comparing them to directly, but this is the most loaded linebacker room we've had in quite some time, with the John Vaughns, the big hitter of the bunch, the Mwasel, kind of the rangy linebacker that's sideline to sideline. And then you got the physical freak that's Olafemi Oladijo, 91 tackles last year, 4.5 sacks, interception, a forced fumble. This guy is rangy and more athletic than both of those guys. So you add him into the fold, of a John Vons and a Mwasau, I'm very optimistic on this front seven next year. And, you know, I'm no stranger to making a proclamation. I really love what these guys can bring to the table. I am excited to see these guys play out. And I think Oladijo is going to be a game changer for the defense. So I think that is a phenomenal second pick from the man, the myth, the legend, Madman. Olafemi Oladijo, third pick. Just to establish who we have off the board, Jay Toya is off the board and Kyle Ford as well. So fourth overall pick. This is my second selection. I was actually thinking about going with another defensive guy here. I feel like he may be on the board by the time I come around. The guy I'm going with, and I'll tell you why I'm going with, I'm going to go with Spencer Holstich, the guard from Purdue. And the reason I'm doing this is such an area of concern when you look at Antonio Maffey and John Gaines leaving. I don't know if people understand how impactful both Maffey and Gaines were for UCLA last year. PFF released their top 10 guards rankings from last year and how they graded out and, you know, performed to their metrics and standards. Maffey came in at number 3 in the entire country and John Gaines coming in at number 7. These are the top 10 guards graded in the entire country, Division I football. Those are not easy replacements to make. But when you have a guy like Spencer Holstich coming in, Big Ten country, like these are where the best offensive linemen are traditionally bred. This guy's a 2-time All-Big Ten selection, 32 games played, 31 starts, Madman. Zero sacks allowed this year, only through 2 sacks in 3 years. And then he's the number 1 pass blocking guard in the Big Ten previously, as well as number 6 in the nation by PFF, and the number 2 pass blocker in the Big Ten period. So you add a player like that, I've got to see that play out and just give us a similar impact that the likes of a Maffey or Gaines gave us, especially if they're protecting, you know, a true freshman quarterback, an 18-year-old going out there trying to making some plays. Give me your take on Spencer Holstich, because I think just in terms of importance, may not be the sexiest position because it's the offensive line, but I think in terms of importance, this guy is a guy we have to watch as UCLA fans, Madman.
Absolutely, Will. And you said it best. I won't repeat with the statistics. Obviously, the 30 career starts, no sacks last year, all of the decorated rankings from a pass blocking perspective with PFF over the course of the last 12 months. But I think to me, even beyond all of that, Will, it's senior leadership and senior leadership in an area of trenches where he had to go up against the Ohio State defensive line, where he had to go up against the vaunted Michigan defensive line, where he had to go up against the likes of Penn State, the likes of Wisconsin, and really play in some big games in the trenches. Let's not forget Purdue made it all the way to the Big Ten championship game. And so he has had an opportunity to play against the most elite of competition. Holstich last year, I think the most impressive stat with Holstich last year is the fact that he played half of the playoff teams. I mean, you know, so when you go into that situation and you're so exposed to those big games, you now understand what it's going to take to beat a USC, to beat an Oregon, to beat an Oregon State, to beat a Washington. And that's the mentality that I'm really looking for. Him sort of anchoring that side of the offensive line is going to be absolutely critical. Because regardless, Will, of who's going to be the quarterback, it's going to be essentially a first-year quarterback. It may be an 18-year-old. It may be a 22-year-old. It may be a kid straight out of high school. It may be a kid who's transferring from Kent State. But at the end of the day, it's first-year Power 5 football starter. And so you have to be sound on the offensive line. Like you said, it's not the sexiest pick, because he's not going to be out there catching balls and running 40s at spring ball, but he is going to be absolutely critical to UCLA's success moving forward.
No, it's the level of importance. The offensive line, the trenches are of utmost importance, and you made some great points. We want guys that are battle-tested, ready to roll, ready to fire out. And, you know, we got this Counta guy. He's been to Old Dominion. I'm excited about him. Am I ready to say he's ready to handle Pac-12 edge rushers? I don't know. But I know with Holstich, he can at least take on the interior defensive line of some of the best universities and college football teams we have out there. So Holstich gets me excited. I think there could be maybe not the level of Maffey, you know, especially what we're seeing with Maffey on tape. I think, you know, our buddies Ben Fennell and Brentley Weissman were drooling over what they were seeing from Maffey today on Twitter. But I think Holstich can slide in there and do a very admirable job, and I'm really excited to watch him play. So that is my second pick. Madman, we are officially to number three for you. Where are you going and why for UCLA football next year?
Thriller, I'm going to go kind of back in the box a little bit because I'm just really excited to see this particular athlete at a position that we haven't had quite this level of athlete in a very long time, and that's Sturt Event. And I'm so excited to watch him play. The 755 receiving yards last year, the 7 touchdowns, the 60-plus catches. He was Cal's number one receiver, the 6'3", the 205, the sub-10.5, 100-meter speed. We just haven't had a guy like this. You know, he's basically got Kaz Allen's speed with Kyle Phillips-like production, with a J.J. Stokes-like frame. I mean, we have sort of all of the ingredients here of a true number one wide receiver that has not really happened in the Chip Kelly era in that ilk. Kyle Phillips absolutely was a number one wide receiver for UCLA, but he was primarily a slot guy. Kaz Allen was the great Swiss Army knife, but he never really put a whole season together as an ultimate receiver. And so now, having Sturt Event back there as your true number one, and now it allows a Kyle Ford to be a co-number one, number two. It allows a Cam Brown to be number three. I just can't wait to watch this kid play, understand what the range is, and have him going up against a Kirkwood, having him go up against a Kamari Ramsey in spring ball, and just watching those one-on-one matchups with those dudes and those athletes. It's going to be must-see, Will. And I hope that this spring, that Chip makes it more of a spring game and not just kind of a skills showcase. Because that 1v1, Will, between Sturt Event and a Kirkwood slash Davies slash Ramsey, I mean, that's get your popcorn ready. Lean over to the edge of the fence because you want to catch every minute of it. So I can't wait to see Sturt Event.
I love the pick, man. And Sturt Event, he is, I think, for all intents and purposes, the wide receiver one, you know, coming into spring camp. Yes. You know, what he was able to do at Cal, a team that was relatively not great with, you know, Jack Plummer looked great against us. Was he great in Pac-12 play? I don't know. Maybe that's a testament to how our secondary looked last year. But, you know, I just think Sturdivant with the speed and what Chip can kind of concoct with that size and speed combo, it's so rare to have both of those at the same time. That we're going to see some really nice plays between him, whether it's Garbers, whether it's Moore, whether it's Schley out there. So Sturdivant is a great pick. The 700-plus yards receiving, 7 touchdowns. Sign me up for that. I'm just pumped to see Sturdivant, period. I hope we do get the spring game as well. Thought that was a great pick, Madman. And this brings us to pick number three for myself. I have another defensive guy I'm kind of stashing away. I'm playing GM mode when it comes to the spring game. It's like, can I get this guy in the fourth round? Maybe, maybe not. But I think for me, I got to go offense. I went two defensive guys with the first two picks. For me, I am ready to see TJ Harden. This is the guy that finished the season so well. 200 total yards rushing the last two games. He made the big plays on the final drive that put us up against Pitt. You know, the touchdown run from 12 yards out. He had a 20-plus yard run in the open field. We've talked about it. You know, the running style is beautiful to watch. I think he can be an RB number one. And this is the guy for me. I was mentioning this to Wayne Cook, the former UCLA quarterback. I think this is the next Deshaun Foster project that's going to go to the NFL. And I want to see that, you know, come to fruition. We saw little flashes of it. You can't play the running back position and just be average for Deshaun Foster. He's one of the best out there. He's clearly kind of tabbed this guy as the next best guy. I know we got Carson Steele coming in who, you know, was eighth in the entire country in rushing, double-digit touchdowns, huge numbers. But I still believe the ceiling of TJ Harden is higher as a football player than the likes of Carson Steele. And I want to see that play out with a genius mind in the run game and Chip Kelly. You know, a newer offensive line, hopefully we can fix those problems. But TJ Harden made such an impact against Cal and Pitt. I've got to put him on this list. He's got to make my top three. What do you think about Harden, Madman? Because I'm stoked to see our guy, maybe the next NFL running back for UCLA.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that First of all, I love the pick, completely agree with it. He made his name at the end of the season, Cal game, Pitt, you know, the last quartet, you know, the last quarter of the season. But we saw flashes of this guy in the non-conference, right? I mean, when it, you know, in the rain game, we were playing the HBCUs, we were playing Bowling Green. It was a lot of garbage time to go around. Remember the one game where Charbonnet didn't suit up and Harden comes into the second half and he has that great, you know, toss sweep to the left, goes 20, 22 yards all the way into the end zone. And just from that first carry, you were like, well, who is this guy? And, you know, it was his first career carry, went for a touchdown. He was so excited. His mom was at the game and he just sort of shot out of a cannon there where you sort of turned and looked. He's sort of like the girl at the dance that you got to have to kind of take a double take. You're like, I didn't expect to see someone so good looking in this corner of the room. And that's essentially TJ Harden, you know, the beautiful girl in the corner of the room that was kind of your blind spot. And so really excited to see Harden build upon this and take it to the next level. I believe that he is going to be RB1 next year. You talked about the next great Deshaun Foster project. He reminds me a lot of Deshaun Foster in the way he ran. He reminds me, I've said this before to you, Will, a lot of Eric Dickerson in terms of the head being upright and so steady. You could put a Coke can on his head and not drop a sip. And so he's just such a smooth runner. He looked so confident last year as a freshman. I just can't wait to see that confidence. He's probably going to put on a little bit of weight. I anticipate him putting on maybe 7 to 10 pounds of muscle. So seeing him kind of in his new body, willing to take maybe a little bit more contact, but maintaining that smoothness, having the confidence of 1 year under his belt, I think he's prized to have an absolutely breakout year. And I think it's all going to depend on number of carries for him, even as RB1, given how deep the room is. But I think that if he gets the requisite number of carries that a running back number one should, I mean, he's a no-brainer 1,000-yard rusher next year. So I completely agree.
And that's what makes me so excited to see him in spring ball, because I know this is a loaded backfield. But if he can take that momentum he got at the end of the year and segue it in, we're talking about a guy that's, you know, going to be a mainstay in Pac-12 football for the next 2 years. If he's able to come out of that loaded backfield of, you know, a Carson Steele, an Adkins, a Keegan Jones. Remember, we thought last year the breakout guy was going to be Deshaun Morrell. You know, Colson Yankoff. Yes. There's a lot of guys in there, you know. So if he is able to establish himself as, you know, RB number one, which I believe he is capable of, I think the sky's the limit for the kid, and we've got our next great UCLA running back on the table. So I like the pick. I had to take him off the board. You know, Mr. TJ Harden with my third pick. But that goes over to number four for Madman. Madman, what is your number four pick in the Bruin Bible spring ball game?
I am going to go defense again. And, you know, as much as we talk about the offense, and rightfully so, I think this is an opportunity to give the defense some love. We've talked a lot about the front seven, Will, and, you know, I'm going to sort of be your compliment here and, you know, sort of play off of you. And I'm going to make a bold prediction about this front seven. This is the best front seven I have seen, not only in the Chip Kelly era, but this is the best front seven I've seen since 2006. You know, so that 06 front seven that shut down USC in that 13-9 game was the best front seven I've seen of UCLA. Obviously, there were moments with Barr and Kendricks. Those two guys were just so exceptional. But as an overall unit, as a cohesive unit, I still go back to that 06 unit as one that was just phenomenal. Had Brian Price, Brigham Harwood. There were just so many great guys on that team. And this team reminds me so much of that group on paper. I'd love to see them take it to the next step. But we still need something in that back four, right? You know, you can't – it's an 11-on-11 game at the end of the day. You can't win with seven guys defensively. So, obviously, we've got Davies. We've talked a lot about Kirkwood. I'm really excited to see Kirkwood take it to that next step. But the guy I'm looking for, Will, in spring ball is Kamari Ramsey. You know, there was so much that went into this recruit last year. He was the prize of last year. It's so rare to be able to flip a kid from Stanford UCLA was able to do it. He was four-star. He has all of the measurables. And I want to see him bring a fresh energy, a fresh enthusiasm to this unit and push the likes of a Kirkwood. He's sort of this year's version of Kirkwood. We were expecting big things from Kirkwood last year. Didn't quite materialize. I want to see Ramsey and the domino effect of him, not just on the field and imposing that frame and that physicality, you know, and growing into that body, but the impact that he's going to have on Kirkwood to push his game, the impact he's going to have on Davies and make it a very friendly, competitive secondary to really just hold on that back end and allow this front seven to do what they do and just not make any big mistakes. So really excited to see Kamari Ramsey in spring ball, Will, especially going up against Sturdivant, going up against Kyle Ford, going up against Cam Brown, having to deal with very dynamic quarterbacks, having to deal with a potential run game here that can throw so many different looks at you. So really excited to see Ramsey.
Yeah, man. And this guy just had a lot of great offers too. And he was able to finalize coming to UCLA, went to Sierra Canyon. I think most people know that in the LA area as a basketball school as compared to a football school. But this guy had offers from Ohio State, Notre Dame, Michigan, Texas, SC. And, you know, he wanted to go to Stanford. It didn't end up working out there, but he came to UCLA. So that shows you some of the pedigree this guy is bringing in. The likes of these powerhouse schools, these Final Four schools wanted this guy. So Kamari Ramsey is a great, great pick, Madman. I am excited to see him too. Also, shout out to Stacey Ramsey. I believe Kamari's mom, who is always liking and following our tweets. She's a great lady on Twitter, so we want to give her a big shout out. We got some good stuff going on there with Kamari. I'm going to keep in the secondary with my fourth pick. And the guy that I think can make it to all Pac-12 status is if he keeps going, Jalen Davies, three picks last year. And it's just the little things he does and the kind of explosive nature he has. You know, we saw the pick six against Pitt. Granted, that was one of the worst throws you'll ever see. But what's the common complaint with defenders? It's, you know, they can't catch the ball. He was able to at least make the play and make it happen. You know, we've seen so many times corners just drop these easy, easy interceptions. So Davies, to his credit, made that play. The Utah game, which I think a lot of people forget about, fumble was on the field. He picked it up and nearly scored on that one. And then he had a pick against Alabama State and nearly returned that. He went 46 yards, got knocked out, you know, within the 5-yard line. So this guy had three picks in his first full year starting. This guy is similar to Ramsey, where he's a very highly recruited guy. Went to Oregon initially, came down to UCLA, and first year starting, made some waves, was easily our most consistent player in the secondary. I'm going to challenge him to make all Pac-12 this year. That is kind of my big prediction with Jalen Davies. We've needed a guy like this in the secondary. Maybe with a new coach like Cody Whitefield, he can push both, you know, the Davies and the Ramseys and the Kirkwoods to kind of reach that potential, these high four-star guys, to kind of be those, you know, high-caliber starters that we think they can be. Jalen Davies has made too many plays in just year one of starting where I think this guy could be special, Madman. What do you think about Jalen Davies in my fourth pick?
I love the pick, Will, and he's got all the tools. And, you know, we were very excited about him coming from Oregon and the fact, the sort of the skill set that he brought to the table. He's got a nose for the football. And he's also got this ability of anticipation. That's the other thing that I saw a lot about Davies. Davies was the one guy last year, Will, that outside of the three picks that you mentioned and the house calls, he was the one guy that didn't get beat badly. And I think there's something to be said about that. We talk so much about upside with defensive backs. We also have to think about who is mitigating the downside. We saw Kirkwood get beat pretty badly. We saw Blaylock. We saw Ausling III. We saw all of these guys get beat pretty badly at times over the course of the season. You never saw Jalen Davies just get absolutely burned or just get double moved out of his mind or just completely break down in terms of coverage. He was always a guy that was in the right spot. Sometimes it worked out. Sometimes it didn't. Sometimes it was just a great throw that's indefensible. And so I think that he's got the right instincts. And again, much in the same way we've talked about the offensive guys, another year in the system. And now I think the onus of who is going to take over the play calling in the secondary, that title was Blaylock. And I was at the Utah game, Will. I talked to Martin Jarman. Blaylock got hurt 5 plays into the game. He comes up to the Chancellor's box and says, I'm really worried about this game because Blaylock was big. Blaylock was our captain back there in terms of calling out the secondary coverages. So who's going to take that role over? And I think Davies has all the makings to be able to do that. And that is what's going to impress the NFL scouts and the NFL audience just as much as the physical, his ability to captain the ship from back there with the mental aspect. So I love the pick. It's a high-value pick. I think there's tremendous potential there. Let's see him put it together. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a really good point with that, too, is we had seen the Kirkwoods get burned. We'd seen the Ostlings and Blaylocks, you know, make mistakes back there. Those guys all had at least some level of starting experience, whereas Davies was a redshirt freshman. Right. For him to really have his first taste of football out there and not make any critical mistakes while leading the team in turnovers, I mean, the kid looked like a natural in year one. So the excitement level is palpable for a guy like Davies moving into year two as a starter for UCLA football. So that's a guy that I'm really, really pumped on. So excited to see what he brings to the table. Final pick of the spring ball, who are you most excited to see, goes to Madman. Madman, what is going on, my brother?
Thriller, I am going to throw a curveball here a little bit. And obviously, we've got some limitations with this game. We've laid out what the restrictions are. The guy I'm pretty excited to see in spring ball is Ethan Garbers. And, wow, you know, how is he going to compete with the chosen one, with the LeBron of UCLA football, with Dante Moore? He's waited his turn. He's been 2 years in the program. Expectation was that he would at least get a look, get a shot, and then we hit the grand slam with Dante Moore, and Dante Moore puts on this show in the All-American game and presumably is the guy going in. He's already moved in, like we talked about, ready to take this job. I want to see Garbers the competitor. I want to see what Garbers has done in the offseason in terms of footwork, in terms of mechanics, in terms of body, in terms of mind, to really give this a great go. Will, you and I talked about it on the CBS telecast during the bowl game. We heard Chip say, hey, look, I know everyone's really excited about Dante Moore. Don't sleep on Garbers. I still think this is going to be a very competitive quarterback competition that's going to come down to the end, and it's too early to call a winning horse in the race. I want to see that mindset of Garbers come in there and say, look, the whole fan base wants to see Dante Moore. It's his program going into the future. Ethan Garbers is sort of the one guy that is going to go into that spring game, Will, and feel like it's a road game. I mean, think about it, you know? Like, fans are going to be cheering for every other position on this field and supporting their team. And then once they see Garbers on the field, they're going to be like, oh, it's not Dante Moore. Okay, yeah, okay, Ethan, you know. When's Dante going to be? When's Dante on? Can I go get a sports drink? Can I go get a coffee? You know, so I think that mentality of basically playing on the road during the spring, I'm really excited to see how he takes his experience and puts it all together. So Ethan Garbers is my last pick.
Yeah, and that is a phenomenal choice. You know, I think we look at the numbers. He's like a career, like 65% completion rate off the bench. He could have made – he made some throws that just DTR couldn't make last year. No knock to DTR, one of the most electric athletes we've had. But, you know, the guy has downfield accuracy, and he can really sling the football, you know, that 20, 25-yard radius when it comes to the football field. So, love what I see from Garbers. And, you know, he's going to have some chemistry with these receivers that Moore just won't have. He's been practicing with Cam Brown for 2 years. He's been practicing, you know, with Logan Loya for 2 years. Habermill knows him well. He has a rapport with Carson Ryan in the tight end room. This Kyle Ford was on his 7-on-7 team. Like, he even knows Kyle Ford coming in. This is a guy that it's – we've talked about it. We think Dante is by far and away, you know, the best talent we've had coming into the quarterback position maybe ever. But he's going to have to really show up and earn this starting job. It's not going to go down without a fight. And the thing that I love is Garbers, it was kind of the first public comment he had made via Twitter. When Ford came and Ford committed, he quote tweeted it. And he went, let's get it. You know, this is our year. And it was kind of like just like him putting out there, like, you're going to have to rip this job away from me if you think you can take this year one. So it's going to be a fun, fun battle. I know the fan base is probably for Dante Moore. I know I've seen the comments. People are like, Garbers is whatever. This guy's good. This guy is really good, and a lot of programs would like this guy to be their starting quarterback at the Division I level. So I love the Ethan Garber's pick. My last pick, Madman, I just want to get some, you know, honorary mentions in there. I am really excited to see what Devin Kirkwood does with Cody Whitefield coming in. I really believe it was a coaching issue, like with how bad this defensive secondary was. Having some new fresh blood in there, a smart, you know, former safety from Stanford come in there and implement a new kind of, you know, coaching tactics with the secondary is making me very, very excited as a fan of UCLA football. The Murphy twins, I'm just going to combine them into one. I think they're very, very exciting to watch. I think they're going to take a big leap this year, and they were already very good. Grayson, you know, had 5 sacks last year. This guy can maybe get to 7.5, 8, get some NFL teams looking his way. Really like what he brings to the table. I'm excited to see how Cam Brown, TMA, and, you know, I think Logan Loy has been a guy I've long searched for, you know, to try to get going in the wide receiver room. Maybe with a more pass-friendly offense, we'll get to see a little bit more of their stats kind of increase, you know, with more of a pass-first type of system. But the guy I'm going to go with, Madman, you know I'm very high on him, and I think he has a chance to be great, and it's kind of similar to that of Ethan Garber's, where a guy came in and, you know, hey, this is my job. I think I'm qualified enough to play, and we saw it in limited snaps. Hudson Habermill's my guy. When we had Sam Connan come on last year for the preview show, I said, give me one guy, because you're at practice every day, that you think could surprise a lot of people. He goes, Habermill, easy. Habermill is the guy that's been playing in practice, doing big things. And he just made play after play, 15 catches, 167 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Had that big touchdown catch against Stanford where he went 80 yards. 2 defenders tried to tackle this guy, and they went off of him like he was like a rubber ball. Like, it was just unbelievable to see the brute strength this guy has, 6'6", 252 pounds. I know Maliki Matavo's coming in there, but Habermill knows the system. He's big enough. He's a great blocker. He's a great receiver. It's kind of what the NFL is looking at with these dual threat tight ends, you know, kind of those, you know, Darren Wallers, those Mark Andrews, those George Kittles. I think Habermill is going to be a guy that I'm really locked in on when it comes to spring ball. What do you think about my final pick in Hudson Habermill?
Oh, great one, Will. And, you know, you mentioned his athleticism. I know you've talked about him being Gronkowski-like in terms of frame in the past. And we always love to mention the catch against Stanford, breaking the two guys, taking it all the way. Or was it Arizona? I think it was Arizona, right?
Arizona. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
It was Arizona. Touchdown. Yeah. And that game is just, you know, blacked out in my memory, Will. So, you know, it was hard to bring that one back. But the play of the year for me, Will, with Habermill, was the Washington game. Everyone forgets that the biggest catch of that game was the game-sealing catch, that 3rd and 8, that out route. And he was – the defender raped all over him. He fights off the defender, makes an incredible catch with his hands, and seals that victory. That was a game, Will, if you recall, UCLA's – DTR is really his coming out party against top 25 competition. UCLA had raced out to a 40-16 lead in that game. 4th quarter, Washington scores a touchdown, gets a 2, gets a stop, gets another touchdown, gets another 2. All of a sudden, 40-16 becomes 40-32. There was still time in that game, 3rd and 8. And UCLA, if they didn't get that play, Washington would have gotten the ball back. Things could have gotten really hairy. And Habermill found a way to make this incredible catch in crunch time, and had some other great moments in that game in terms of receiving, and then put those shades on at night. I mean, Hollywood Habermill was born. I'm expecting big things from him, Will. He's got the frame. He's got the poise. No moment seems to be too big for him. He's got that L.A. swag, that L.A. personality. And now if he's got a 5-star quarterback on the front end of getting some of these passes, this could be a Pac-12 breakout player of the year candidate making this massive jump. As you talked about Harden being the next running back to go to the NFL in the Deshaun Foster system, Habermill very likely is the next tight end going to the NFL and following the likes of Wilson, Asiasi, and Dulcich to move forward to the next level. So I love it.
Love it, man. And that concludes our spring draft, who we are most excited to see in the UCLA uniform. Make sure you're following all things LAFB. Make sure you're subscribing to our channels on YouTube. We've got a bunch of different stuff. We got USC stuff. I know it sucks, but if you know somebody that likes them, make sure they're subscribed to the channel. Rams, Chargers. We got it all for you, man, at LA Football Network. We're going to be at the Super Bowl in a couple weeks, which is going to be very cool. So make sure you're tuning to Madman and I's content. We'll be doing everything we can. Bruin Bible, we are officially out, ladies and gentlemen.